we're quite clear. We want to support the black cab trade, but we want to move them towards vehicles that are zero emission capable. And that's why the support we're giving them is twofold. One is to help them.
You're not supporting them, Mr. Mayor. I mean, and we're running out of time. Mr. Mayor, the bottom line is, and you're avoiding the question, the bottom line is that you've got one rule for everybody else, which is that they can use vetoes, Euro 6 fans, and one rule for the black cab. And why is it that the rules for the black cab are always more draconian than everyone else? That's the question, Mr. Mayor.
I'm a boy off a council estate, right? We're going to go down. The only way they're going to beat me is to kill me. And the only way, that's the attitude this trade should have. The only way they're going to beat us is to kill us. They want to bring it on. It's not a fight we went looking for. It's a fight we've had no other alternative but to have. I don't give a damn. To quote Churchill, the man over there, this ain't the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning. The trade has got to wake up. The trade has woke up. Don't you know about it? And if the trade doesn't wake up to this, where do you think we're going to be in 4 or 5 years' time? There's 117,000 minicab drivers acting like a ghost taxi fleet out there right now. Come round. Nothing can break, nothing can break me down. It is the London Taxi Trade United. The days of the London Taxi Trade disunited are well and truly over. I got gas in the tank, I got money in the bank, I got news for you, baby, you're looking at the man. So today, take pride, because what we've done today as a trade was what we were told we couldn't do.
Yeah.
People, experts in the trade with more money than UTAG, with more influence, said it can't be done, but we've done it. And the only way UTAG's done it, I'll tell you, UTAG's done it, is by every single one of us who drive a cab for a living putting their hand in their pocket and stakeholders. Because baby, I'm gifted. Right now, we're sending this message. We turned up to the party. A bit late, you've had a right good run on our expense, but we're here now. The laughing stopped. We're serious. We're fighting for our livelihoods. Thank you very much for listening to me, friends. Thank you very much.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio. London Taxi Radio. On the air, everywhere.
Well, I'll never see that side of 50 again, will I?
50. Never in a million years did I think I would get to 50. I mean, time flies even when you're not having fun, doesn't it? But 50. Never thought I'd get here. I've been pretty reckless through the 90s and, well, I guess I've come out the other end pretty much unscathed. So lucky. I wake up sometimes feeling 20 and I wake up sometimes feeling 100. So with that, I guess it's about right, isn't it? 50. I'd like to hear your transitional period. 30, I guess people change career, don't they? They think, well, you can go through your 20s thinking something will come up, and then when you hit 30, you think, hang on a second, it doesn't just come up. I've got to put in to get out. So 30 tends to be a transitional year when people go into other careers or have a career or do a different job or change life, go abroad, go and live on Copacabana Beach, off your wits or something like that. But what did you do in one of these big hitters, these big years like 30, 40 and 50? 40, you want to be settled, don't you? You want to be settled. And 50, well, it went by. I didn't even think about it. As long as you can hide that crunching noise in your joints going on, nobody hears it, then I think you're doing all right. Anyway, cracking on, because we've got big business to talk about. Such a lot has happened this week, so I'm going to race through it and try and cover everything. But it started with the Good Law Project, didn't it? Although drivers contributed to the VAT case, I don't think they paid as much attention to it as perhaps they should have, because it is absolutely fascinating and it goes to show the tentacles Uber has in almost everything. If you go to the Good Law Project blog and typed in Uber VAT, it would bring you to it and it'd bring you bang up to date with what's happening. But I'll give you some background, and this is taken from the blog. They say, we fundraise to take action against Uber to force its hand over a VAT invoice. A purpose of the action is to force Uber to add VAT to its fares, which we expect to total around about £1 billion. £1 billion. Can you believe it? And that is to HMRC, of course. To add a VAT invoice, Joe Moham QC initiated proceedings in the High Court. Uber, as its entitlement, threatened to pursue him for costs if he failed. Although we are confident that a claim has a very good prospects of succeeding, Mr. Moham has no financial interest in the litigation itself, and the costs after any appeals could easily bankrupt him. We took advice on cost protection from a QC specialising in the field, and we were advised that we would have to show we had pursued any other remedy they had. But they've had a think, and they go on to say this. We can get the same result, Uber charging VAT and handing it over to HMRC, if someone who pays VAT takes an Uber and successfully claims against HMRC as an entitlement to deduct the VAT on that fare. Such a claim can be made in an environment in which, at least first-tier tribunal level, the loser need not pay the winner's costs. So we adjourned the claim against Uber and began to push the claim against HMRC. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because this comes on the back of the Uber's Employment Tribunal case, where they lost, and in which case should be liable to pay VAT. And a response to the Good Law Project was that the position of the Employment Tribunal decision, specifically in relation to Uber, does not change the advice they were given on the basis on which they should put forward a protective assessment, meaning they should look for protection in case of adverse costs, of which they can't do because they don't have the funds to do it. The Good Law Project replied by saying the Employment Tribunal decision, which is under appeal, relates to the status of the drivers and whether they are self-employed workers or employees. I believe that tribunal has ruled that they are workers for the purpose of workers' rights. I'm not aware that the tribunal made any ruling regarding principal or agent, basically employer or employee, which is what is critical to VAP law, not the workers' rights. Given that there is Supreme Court decision, an employment tribunal would not be able to overturn that precedent anyway. And so, in layman's terms, the Good Law Project has been told because they don't have the money to fund a potential appeal brought by Uber, and inevitably they would, wouldn't they, then they're not going to pursue the case. So effectively, you're at square one. It's like a case has never been brought. Now, they've run an honourable case here, the Good Law Project, only to be told that it's a non-starter going after Uber, and so they went after HMRC, and to be told the same thing. If they hadn't been awarded protection costs, they hadn't got the money, because there was a way they did a crowdfund with black cab drivers, they hadn't got the money, and they couldn't pursue it. An absolute crock, that is. Absolute crock. The tentacles of Uber run wide and deep. Which brings me quite neatly to Viavan. Now, Viavan, last week, was awarded by TfL a contract for a one-year demand-responsive bus pilot in the borough of Sutton. The service will be operated in collaboration with Go Ahead London and will use dynamically routed on-demand buses to create an inexpensive and eco-friendly transport option. Now, don't be befuddled by the jargon here, will you? You've got demand-responsive. Now, all that is instant hire. Now, it's a big deal because it's what me and you do, isn't it? But it doesn't mean anything other than instant hire. And also, dynamically routed. What a great phrase that is, dynamically routed. Guess what that means? Well, all that means is sat-nav. So it could reread as operated in collaboration with Go Ahead London and will use a sat-nav to create an inexpensive... Well, we hear they're not inexpensive. They're going to be more than buses, and you're not allowed to use your Oyster card, so I'll be intrigued to see how expensive they actually are. Eco-friendly transport option. Now, transport option, of course, I use that regularly, but eco-friendly, we hear that a lot as well, don't we? All that is Euro 6 Vito vans, the very kind that you and I are no longer able to buy. Now, if that wasn't contentious enough, Tim Fenton of Zelo Street has identified a really contentious part of the contract. And under Section 11 that deals with indemnification, they list a whole load of relationships that one could have with Viavan, ranging from employer through to mother, father, daughter, or even sibling. It doesn't matter what the relationship is, you'd be affected by this. Because, effectively, it says that if the government tried to enforce the law, and Viavan is forced to comply with VAT and employment legislation, then Viavan is saying that they want the driver to indemnify them against this. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But Tim Fenton says it looks like this is unlawful. And I guess that's why Viavan is attracting a lot of attention at the moment. Not least as well, because TfL are ready to do business with Viavan, aren't they? And so effectively, if they were taken to court, even if it was a government body taking them to court, even if it was the HMRC taking them to court because they wasn't paying relevant taxes, then you would have to indemnify them, which is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, I don't think this has been specific, or I don't think Viavan are the first to do this, because I remember Uber's early contracts would say that you had to indemnify them as a driver and that you couldn't take out any litigation. You had to go to arbitration, which was in the Netherlands, because UK law didn't apply. Now, I don't think that is in the contract now. I don't think that's withstanding, and I don't think this would be withstanding, but it does beg a belief that if the government find them to be unlawful, you are still meant to indemnify them against losses. Unbelievable. And as far as court cases go, the big daddy of them all, UTAG, well, not unlike the VAT case, they also had a lot of scaremongering around the cost of the JR being cost prohibitive, and they shouldn't bring it because they wouldn't be able to afford the adverse costs that would be applied by Uber. Well, the thing is, Uber didn't have to be there. TfL didn't have to be there either, and the LTDA even didn't have to be there, and for what it's worth, may as well have not have been there. Because this was a decision by the magistrate that was being contended, not on Uber being fit and proper. So they chose to turn up at the court, and they always would, because they like to micromanage things, don't they? But nevertheless, it looked like costs would be applied, but the court has thrown it out. And so there are no costs, not one penny will be going to Uber. So that, as far as I'm concerned, is a win in itself. There are costs going to TfL, but UTAG say they're well within their means, and none to Uber. And that's a big deal. That's a win.
Evening.
Evening.
Crowded tonight.
Crowded tonight.
Unusual, you know that, for a Sunday.
Unusual, you know that, for a Sunday.
Would you mind not repeating everything I say, please?
I'm awfully sorry. Sorry. My name's Arthur Wilkins, by the way.
Oh, hello, I'm George Protheroe.
Hello, I'm George Protheroe.
You said you were Arthur Wilkins.
You said you were Arthur Wilkins.
My God, you're doing it again.
My God, you're doing it again.
Look, please. Will you please not interrupt me all the time and repeat everything I say? More repeats with you than the BBC.
I'm awfully sorry. Awfully sorry. I bought a calendar in Tamworth yesterday.
That's better.
That's better.
You're doing it again.
You're doing it again.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Look, I may be unusual, but I find it very irritating for someone to keep repeating everything I say all the time. It's not what I regard as the art of conversation.
I'm awfully sorry, but I've got this nervous compulsion, you see. The first three things that anybody says, I repeat. Then the next one, I don't. Then the next three, I repeat. The next one, I don't. And so on.
Oh, my God, how awful.
Oh, my God, how awful.
Well, the best thing for me to do is to get through my next two remarks as quickly as possible, Nickers.
Well, the best thing for me to do is get through my next remarks as quickly as possible. Knickers.
More knickers.
More knickers.
Good. Now, perhaps we can talk some sense. How long has this complaint been going on?
Ah, good. Now, perhaps we can talk some sense. How long has this complaint been going on?
You've just repeated me a fourth time.
Yes, I know. I think it's getting worse.
I think you're a fake.
I think you're a fake.
Right. I'll fix you. To escort an orangutan from Baden-Baden to Wagga Wagga via Addis Ababa and vice versa is enough to make a Gurkha Sherpa commit harikiri.
Right, I'll fox you. To escort an orangutan from Baden-Baden to Wagga Wagga via Addis Ababa and vice versa is enough to make a Sherpa Gurkha commit harikiri.
Tasmanian Dalmatians hate Romanian Alsatians, and Romanian Alsatians hate Tasmanian Dalmatians. But antiquarian Bulgarians love planetarians and aquarians. And Romanians, Lithuanians, and Tasmanians all love geraniums. Men born under Aries are usually fairies. Betty Botter bought a bit of butter, but she said this butter's bitter. If I buy a bit of better butter, it will make my bit of bitter butter better. So she bought a bit of better butter, and it made a bit of bitter butter better.
Sometimes I only repeat things twice.
I'm not talking to you.
You're a fraud. I'm not talking to you.
This man is a fake.
Quickfire news now from TaxiLeaks column inches. TfL announced an extension to the Tottenham Court Road scheme, covering New Oxford Street, Bloomsbury and Holborn. On top of that, Westminster announced they want to ban diesel taxis from Oxford Street as soon as practical. That will create an apartheid-like system within the trade, won't it? And I don't think any one of us should be party to that. Week 7 of the ITA protest, and still going strong. Jim Thomas says, when your back's against the wall, stand beside drivers with a Dunkirk spirit, not the Vichy collaborators. I guess you'll need to read the article to know what he's talking about there. And a High Court has ruled that you must not engage the meter before assisting a disabled person into the taxi. It was considered that the meter might constitute a contract, and if anything happened and the meter wasn't engaged, then you wouldn't be insured. That is not the case. You must assist the person into the taxi before engaging the meter. So the Good Law Project was thrown out, but it leaves Uber still owing $1 billion in VAT. And $28 million has been put aside to revamp The Strand. Only this time, it looks set to be okay. TfL plan to move Victoria Station to the Royal Oak, Paddington. Will we still call it Victoria Station?
Six van, and I'm talking about the trial that you're running for the on-demand buses in South London are Euro 6 Veto vans. So the question is, why is it good for one and not for the other? Pretty simple.
Well, as I've explained to you, the question you asked originally was in relation to the grant we're giving to
no,
black
it wasn't.
Taxis.
It was about the fact that you don't allow black cabs to license Euro 6 Veto vans. So you've got Euro 6 Veto vans can be used by one company that you've just introduced, but black cab drivers have been around for decades, they can't use it. Why?
Well, you're asking about a pilot taking place in two boroughs across London, comparing that to the black cab trade. We're quite clear, we want to support the black cab trade, but we want to move them towards vehicles that are zero emission capable. And that's why the support we're giving them is twofold. One is to help them.
You're not supporting them, Mr. Mayor. I mean, and we're running out of time. Mr. Mayor, the bottom line is, and you're avoiding the question, the bottom line is that you've got one rule for everybody else, which is that they can use vetoes, Euro 6 vans, and one rule for the black cab. And why is it that the rules for the black cab are always more draconian than everyone else? That's the question, Mr. Mayor.
That was Keith Prince questioning Mayor Carn. And Mayor Carn intentionally not answering any of the questions. It's not the first time we've seen him do this. He was doing it with David Curtin last week. But this is, it's a disgusting indictment on our relationship with the mayor that he feels that he can intentionally not answer these very pertinent questions, especially surrounding the veto van that TfL have just bought up, a whole fleet to operate an on-demand bus service in Sutton, whilst cab drivers are having to get rid of their Euro 6 veto van. You know, it's unbelievable. But as you can see there, he is intentionally not answering any of the questions. And it does bring into question, doesn't it, the statutory power or lack of statutory power that the London Assembly has to force him to answer these questions, because he should be answering them. And we sit there and we watch him intentionally pushing them to the time limit. I think, the cab trade, what a damning indictment on the relationship the cab trade has with the mayor currently, because he is intentionally not answering these questions, and such disregard for not only Keith Prince, the London Assembly, but the whole of the cab trade. Now, me and Parker Cabby, we went and met Keith Prince last week, and I know he's meeting one or two in the cab trade, but we gave him an interview and it went out on Periscope. But I was going to put it on the radio as well. I was going to cut the audio, put it on the radio, but it's a bit of a jam-packed show. So you can go to Periscope and you can look him up. I think it's the last but one recording we did. And, I mean, comes across really well. A move away, certainly from the lack of relationship we had with the GLA Conservatives. And, got to say, the relationship with the cab trade and the GLA Conservatives is not a healthy one. So anything that goes to an aid to reparation, you could say, is welcome. And a mighty fine fella he is too. Well, as of now, because he's really getting involved with the cab trade, and he is the assembly member for Redbridge, which is Green Badge Valley, isn't it? So he would have a relationship of kind with the cab drivers out there. But certainly covered a lot of ground, and I know that he is going to be heading an initiative into mental health as well with regards to the cab trade. So a good start. And like I said, coming up to elections, we're going to be looking at who is going to be the best for the cab trade. Now, no one will give guarantees, but we want to get as near as damn it, because being out of the mayor's transport strategy, and you could say this is the biggest thing to be happening to us right now, because a crucial element of the mayor's transport strategy, which is to allow taxi drivers to use priority routes, has been taken out of that strategy. Now, that was unbeknown to us, and it does bring into question, where was our main association, the LTDA, because they go the political route. They set up this political relationship with the mayor and TfL, and it's seemingly they don't know about it, we didn't know about it, so who the hell was to inform us that we was going to be taken out of the mayor's strategy from 2010. So whatever we think about Boris Johnson, and there was no love lost there, was there? But whatever we think, he saw fit to keep us in that strategy, but has since been removed in 2018 by Mayor Carn. I remember reading the mayor's strategy, and I remember reading it from cover to cover. Now, it is something like 330 pages, and only two was dedicated to the cab trade. Nevertheless, I never imagined that it replaced the strategy from 2010. I thought it was additional to the strategy. But no. But who should have known that? Because it has to come down to our representation, doesn't it? Because we've been taken out and unceremoniously removed from these new traffic modelling schemes. So all these new schemes that come in that are prioritising buses and cycles and walking, the cab trade is being eliminated because nothing is saying to the local authorities that they should include us in their policies, which they would have to if it was in the mayor's transport strategy. We can now only look towards the DfT's inclusive strategy, which was published after the mayor's strategy. A lot of strategies going on. But yeah, that's the position we find ourselves. A mighty serious position. I can't make light of it in any sense or form. It is really serious, and it is really important that we get the mayor to put us back, or that one crucial factor to include us in priority routes, that one crucial factor is returned to his strategy. Now, the demonstrations, of course, this is a case in point. This is one of the things we are demonstrating for. And a, like I always say, a weak demonstration is worse than no demonstration. The turnout, well, they've increased. They've got stronger, and it is holding strength. But nevertheless, we need everybody to turn up. And why you wouldn't want to protest this? Probably the most serious thing to hit us between the eyes, and it really has. Why you wouldn't want to protest it, I do not know. TfL are beside themselves because the cab trade in Parliament Square is getting good press. It's getting good opinion. There's certainly public opinion on our side. If we're getting good public opinion and everyone seemingly is on our side, they know TfL is getting bad press. And so that's what they don't like. They're trying to put on restrictions at the moment to force us out of the square, but there's got to be no compromise. The ITA are standing firm and saying no compromise. If you want us to move out the way, or if you want us to allow movement or traffic through, then they have to enter into meaningful dialogue, don't they? And I see them right.
If this station is not your cup of tea,
then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
Thought you might say that.
London Taxi Radio, the cabbie's choice.
I feel abused. I feel I've been really taken for a ride. I'm trying really hard not to swear because these people have no honour. No honour. A lot of them are public servants, supposedly, elected by the people. But you've got an industry here where people invest their own time, their own money, to become the best cab drivers in the whole world.
I just can't understand the common sense, because if I was the mayor, I would leave London cab drivers alone. Not because I'm a cab driver, because common sense tells me that the work we do in reference to ferrying people around, etc., etc., is second to none. I'm just amazed that here's a guy that's not looking after the people that look after people.
I just feel really disappointed, worried about the future of the trade, just let down by TfL and the mayor and everyone.
I'm coming to the end of my career. I've been out 40, this is my 46th year. I'm looking to slow down now, but I want to leave the trade healthy, you know, for the young blood coming through. The people that are doing 3-4 years to become cab drivers, I could never have done that.
And we have now a bunch of, I can only describe them as criminals, soulless criminals, who are out to destroy and hoodwink the public. They're already hoodwinking the public with false statistics about pollution for all these congestion charges they're bringing in to clean up the air. Everything these people do has got to be thought of now as being corrupt. They don't live in the real world.
By stopping us using bus lanes in certain streets, it's ridiculous, because what Sadiq Khan has done, he's taken us out the public hire market, and he's put us into the private hire market. So he's killed off the two-tier system.
You know, I'm angry not only with TfL, but the rest of the cab trade. Not all of us, the ones that are here, like, we believe that we are in trouble. And the cab drivers that are out there that are working, they've got their head buried in the sands, they really have, and they just think it'll be okay, it'll all blow over. Well, it won't blow over.
Champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money. You don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You may not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got.
Cowley Road, then left into Trump Away, left into Oxford Road, comply roundabout, lead by Oxford Road, right to Denham Avenue, forward Denham Way, forward into Uxbridge Road, comply roundabout, lead by Oxford Road, comply even roundabout, lead by Oxford Road.
London Taxi Radio, on the air, everywhere.
So it's time to break out the big guns.
This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. In denial every step of the way, accusing us of spreading fake news. But the truth has been exposed now, thanks to the work done by members of the Real LTDA. The private company, known as LTDA Enterprises, has sold the desirable canalside property, which includes Taxi House. In an email, they informed members that another property has been purchased just down the road from Great Southwark Street Taxi Centre. So, it was true all along. As we predicted and again were accused of fake news, Westminster City Council announced that all traffic, including taxis, is to be banned from parts of Oxford Street. Last Sunday, the Baker Street, Gloucester Place two-way scheme went live, and believe it or not, within 3 days, two collisions had taken place involving a pedestrian, a cyclist, both knocked down by buses. After the defeat of the judicial review in the High Court, it was feared attendance of the Parliament Square protest would start to fall. But the reverse has proved to be true, with more drivers turning up on a regular basis. Monday afternoon, police had to escort taxis down the wrong side of the road in Whitehall due to the demand for space for taxis. Unfortunately, the private hire demo seems to be in trouble, with less than 50 minicabs turning up this Monday after Farrar tried to play the race card.
This morning I got an email from the police, and they were trying to say that you and I pose a terrorist risk because of our vehicles. So let me ask you, hands up if you're a terrorist. Any terrorists here?
No!
Okay, police, there are no terrorists here, so you can relax, okay?
We will
absolutely defend. We will absolutely defend our rights. Look, it's still going on.
It's
still going on. Shame on you!
Afternoon, licensing unit.
Is that Mr. Squagg?
It is.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Johnson. I sent you an email a couple of days ago asking a question. I'm a Transport for London licensed taxi driver, and a couple of my colleagues are having a weekend.
I'm with you now. Yeah, sorry.
we're having a weekend in Manchester.
Good. Nice.
We like Manchester. As I say, we are London licensed black taxi drivers.
Mm.
And some of us use the My Taxi app.
Yes.
And it operates in Manchester.
Right.
So we are looking for, we're giving you the heads up, really, that we're going to be working in Manchester on the My Taxi app. What we won't be doing is applying for hire.
Good.
but it's permissible to work in Manchester on the My Taxi app in our London taxis, isn't it?
Yes.
It is, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any illegality in that at all, no.
No, okay.
I know you copied in some of the local trade.
Yeah.
And they're aware of it as well. I don't know what view they've taken on it.
No, nor me. But, I mean, we can work anywhere in a Hackney carriage, that's my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would ask you to do is just be sensible about things. Don't be using the ranks here, because that's like...
No, we can't use...
I'm telling you what you probably already know, but yeah, I need to state the obvious to you, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd appreciate in writing, if that'd be okay.
Okay, and I'd also suggest that you run with your lights for highlights off.
Yes, absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean... Again, we do have some local issues with neighbouring authorities, taxis coming across the border with lights on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's correct, sometimes it's different.
Yeah, no, but we've got...
But just for your own protection, I think, leave the lights off, because you're not actually for hire.
No, we're not for hire.
On the streets.
For a pre-book.
You're private hire, basically.
Yeah, okay.
But thanks for the heads up. It's useful to know, because clearly questions will arise once London Hackneys are seen riding around the city.
Yeah, I'm
certainly
sure.
I mean, you copy the local trading, so that perhaps might reduce some of that, but I'm sure that somebody's going to give me a call at some point and say, do you know?
Yeah, okay.
This is happening.
Fantastic.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Right.
If you could put him right, and I'll just forward that on to TfL so they are aware of what I'm doing as well, and if they want to come to and enforce any compliance.
Because it might come back to them as well, right? Yeah, people might go directly to TfL.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I think is helpful to do is identify this and confirm this with all the authorities involved.
Is it going to become a regular basis, regular thing then, you think?
Well, I mean, we're going to work all over the country. I'm currently working in the part of town where I live, near Stansted Airport in Essex. Via apps, it's interesting.
Is it working okay for you then?
It's London is very, very congested, very competitive. We have a significant amount of Uber vehicles in London, and London is starting to become an uneconomical place to apply for trade.
Well, I mean, you'll see it for yourself when you come up to Manchester, but we've got an awful lot of out-of-town vehicles operating in Manchester, mm-hmm. Coming in from outlying boroughs, mainly private hires. Mm-hmm. We had an issue with a local, you probably are aware of, Rossendale.
Yeah.
That's an issue that's virtually gone away now because they've got policies and measures in place which have reduced that impact. So we don't see as many licensed Hackney carriers as we used to. Mm. But they didn't license London style cabs anyway. Mm. They were all saloon vehicles, which didn't help our situation here. Mm. But you will see for yourself that there's an awful lot of vehicles knocking about, and I just ask you also just to park up sensibly wherever you park.
Yeah,
we do have a lot of issues with obstructions and vehicles parked up outside venues.
Absolutely.
And we're constantly shifting vehicles on to try and keep the chances that somebody's going to get run over and injured.
I think so, just
be sensible about it. Hopefully, if you are, it won't cause too many issues.
Fantastic.
But you'll see it for yourself when you get here.
Fantastic. Okay. that's excellent. Thanks for that. If you could put it in writing, I'll just forward the email on to Transport London so they are aware and there's no licensing issues around that, and not that there's any anyway. But if you could just put a brief note in via email, I'd really appreciate that.
All right, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
See you soon. Bye.
Okay.
That was a very interesting conversation, wasn't it? That was Chris Johnson, aka Charlie Crocker, and the licensing unit up in Manchester. You heard it here. Mr. Scragg. Great name, that. Great name. I think I'd change it if it was me, though, wouldn't you? But anyway, Mr. Scragg said he was very welcome to go to Manchester and ply his wares. He couldn't ply for hire, which meant he couldn't turn his light on, but he could work from an app, and we would say that was plying for hire from an app, wouldn't we? And so there you have it. You heard it here. And I think the problem for TfL is that the same would happen, because perhaps not that many leave London to go and work in other cities, even though you do hear of it. You always hear of TfL vehicles being found in other cities. But the chances are they're feeling the pinch out there more than what we are, and potentially they could descend on London. And if they did, even if they're working from an app, they could use the bus lanes, couldn't they? The same as we could use the bus lanes in other cities like Manchester. They could come to London and use the bus lanes. Now, that could become overwhelming. And I think TfL see the potential in this and say, OK, well, we need to eliminate taxis out of the bus lanes altogether. And it's probably easier to do it that way around than thinking some legislative framework needs to be put in place that keeps us in bus lanes, but Hackney carriage drivers throughout the country out. I think that one would be more difficult. But nevertheless, we got to have zero tolerance to that, because especially with Viavan, the hopper on demand bus service, You know, I mean, that is direct competition for us. And I think if that is allowed in bus lanes and we are not, that's anti-competitive, especially if that system is going to be subsidised. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? But it's a funny one. I always have it with cyclists because they always want us out and they always claim it's a safety thing. Well, the data shows it isn't. And it's no good saying it is because the data, the facts say it isn't. But I say to them, be very careful what you wish for, because if we are out of bus lanes, just see what comes in. And you sure as heck know, this is Uber drivers working on a GPS system on demand, a bit like Uber. They'll be knocking cyclists all over the shop, won't they? And not only that, cyclists really have to have some foresight. I'll tell you something about that. The ones on Tottenham Court Road, not nearly as clued up as the ones in Bank Junction. Isn't that weird? Cyclists, the same, but not so clued up in Tottenham Court Road. No foresight whatsoever. They didn't have much foresight in Bank Junction. And you think they would, wouldn't you? Saving the planet and all that. They must know there's an end game. But, yeah, not much foresight. And I just think, look, when the corporations have got hold of the bus lanes, we're out, because we're not corporate. We're not going to try and monopolise them off you. They think they've got it good because they've got political favour at the moment. But let me tell you, when the corporations have got hold of it and everybody needs revenue, then you lot, you cyclists, are going to be fodder, because they'll look on you and go, you get this infrastructure for nothing. And then your whole argument about sustainability won't wash. It won't wash. A bit like us. It won't wash. Anyway, that's cyclists for you. Maybe the ones in Bank Junction can get a grip of that. I'll try again next year with the ones on Tottenham Court Road.
Myself and a friend were in Clapham just on a night out, just a few drinks, nothing big. We missed the last train and we stayed out for a little bit longer and decided to get an Uber home, which is not unusual for us. After my friend got out, we started driving home to my house and he started making some inappropriate comments to me about how I looked, asking me if I had a boyfriend. I was sitting in the back, so I wasn't even next to him, but he turned around and put his hand on my knee. And I tried to move his hand off of my knee, and I was really shocked, to be honest. The thing is, in the area where I live, there's no lights, so everything was going through my head, thinking, what on earth's going to happen? Is he going to take me somewhere else? Is he going to take me home? I'm literally in this guy's car. I can't get out. So I thought, if I just let him hold my hand and put his hand on my leg, and I carry on talking to him, then maybe he'll be happy with that and we'll just get home. I then did eventually get out. I got out, I walked into my house, and I just burst into tears. I think it's really important that things are regulated. We need to know who's driving people around, what their history is. Do they have previous convictions? If there are people out there who actually have been caught for doing something bad before, then why the hell are they still on the road?
That is a stark reminder, isn't it, of the risks of getting in to what we would consider a stranger's car. This came about during their probationary period. You know that probationary period that Emma Arbuthnot shouldn't have authorised, but got away with it? This came about during that period. So what has Uber done to show that they are fit and proper to operate here in the capital? What have they done? And that has led me to a subject that's very close to my heart. Those of you that know me know that my background is in mental health, and it is in fact the very thing that brought me onto Twitter. Going about my day-to-day business, after Uber descended, I thought our regulator would be quick to nip it in the bud. They wasn't. They let it continue. They granted it an operator's license, and it still continues today. The knock-on effect from that is keeping drivers in this place of uncertainty. Now, long-term uncertainty, not knowing what the future holds, not knowing whether you'll have a job, and not knowing the end game can induce anxiety. Long-term anxiety can lead to depression, and depression ultimately can descend into clinical depression. Now, if you was in a state of clinical depression, there is no way you would be able to pick yourself up and sort your situation out. You would have exhausted all your natural resources to do that. You could say you wouldn't be able to see the wood for the trees. So it is about averting that. And the mental health issue is more prevalent now than what it was back then. And an initiative between a couple of cabbies, that's Matt the Cab, Chris Johnson and a couple of others, went to meet Keith Prince again of the GLA Conservatives. And they are looking at an initiative that can deal with the magnitude of the problem that's out there. If you could take this observant position and ask yourself, is the way you behave now normal for you? And that's what we are looking at, aren't we? We're looking at what is normal for you. If you're putting bills in the drawer and not dealing with them, whereas previously you would have dealt with them. If you are sleeping too much, not sleeping enough. If you're avoiding going to sleep or, crucially, avoiding going to work. Are you making out to others or do others think that you are working? Do they think you're working longer but not productively? Or can you just not get out of bed and face going to work, where normally you would have had no problem with it? Are you less sociable? Are you being more sociable? Because the one thing about anxiety and the one thing about depression is it is just abnormal feelings for you. Sometimes people are more sociable because they want to avoid being on their own or thinking about things that they find intrusive. Now, whether this is happening on a mild level or even if you're having suicidal thoughts, it is never too late or too early for help. And so I'm calling on you, if you recognise that there have been changes, or if you're not managing with life things that you would normally do on a day-to-day basis with no problem, if that is becoming arduous and insurmountable, then before it gets there, you need to talk to somebody. Now, that might mean a friend, it might mean a sibling, it might mean a parent or a child. It might mean someone who doesn't know you, and that's the point. There's nothing to be embarrassed about seeking help as far as mental health issues go. Most of us at some point will need to seek help or will suffer from mental health issues. Now, it doesn't mean that this has to be long term. And even if you have to go on medication, medication is not like it was a few years ago where it turned everybody into a zombie, or even Prozac, even though Prozac is a relevant drug today. What the medication is serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and it is the substance that mimics the molecule in the brain. The molecule happens to be serotonin, which is the feel-good hormone. And just a short course of serotonin reuptake inhibitors can mean a matter of life or death. Seriously, I'm a big fan of serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and they can often work as a period of readjustment. Because sometimes our natural resources, like I said, become exhausted and we feel as though we cannot cope. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors will aid us that ability to come out of it the other end with a positive, healthy mindset. Now, quite often people say to me, well, even if I've taken medication, the end result is the same. The problems are still there when I stop taking medication. It's not the problem so much that's the issue. The issue is our coping mechanism and it not being able to cope at that particular time. This isn't a slant on anybody. It happens to us all. And seeking advice, seeking help, even if it's just talking therapy and not medication, is really the brave thing to do. And I would be gutted if I thought people were suffering from any kinds of ill health and didn't seek help to sort it out. Quite often, it takes a partner, a friend, a sibling, a parent, a child to recognise the symptoms because we can't recognise them in ourselves. Sometimes it is those people who are close to us that need to seek help on our behalf. And quite often, we might not do it for ourselves, but we will do it for those around us. And so if you are someone, a partner to someone, and you are recognising changes, as I said, what you consider to be the norm, then it might mean that you need to seek help on their behalf. There is nothing wrong with that. There's a problem if you feel as though you can't, because when I worked in mental health before, you'll be surprised, amazed even, at the amount of people who would seek help. It is the normal thing to do, and it is the right thing to do for yourself and those around you. So, like I say, if you're experiencing changes, or if you can see changes in someone else, then seek that help. It is there for you, and you don't need to be putting up with it. Like I said, I would be gutted if I thought you were trying to handle it all by yourself. So there'll be more on that in the coming weeks. But big up Keith Prince again and the Cabbies for this initiative, because it seems like TfL have been quite hostile to the fact that you might be suffering a period of ill health. They should change their thinking somewhat, and soon, because they are 30 years out of date. This initiative could be the way forward. I'll be with you after this.
Going nowhere, the tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow, no tomorrow, and I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad, the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take, when people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
Latest evolutionary step for London taxis is here. Introducing TaxiApp.
TaxiApp.
Uniquely founded, funded and owned by London black cab drivers.
TaxiApp.
Just tap the app and pay for your journey by cash, card or on account.
TaxiApp.
For the most qualified and knowledgeable taxi drivers in the world.
TaxiApp.
Available to download now for free from Google Play and App Store, or visit taxiapp.uk.com. TaxiApp. Powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, it's us again, Myrna and Ursula. How
yes.
do you do?
I'm in the bad mood because I haven't had a drink since 3 o'clock.
She is in a really, really foul mood. Be glad you can't see her scowling face. No. I've got it in front of me and it's not a pretty sight, I tell you.
It's just one of those days when you feel like that. Anyway, we have couple of places where we went.
In happier times when Myrna wasn't scowling.
Yeah, oh, it was beautiful. We went to...
First to the Smoking Goat in Shoreditch High Street, which formerly used to be the White Horse, a establishment renowned for ladies entertaining.
Yes, it was loads of naked ladies with beautiful bodies walking around. We didn't want to go there. We didn't want to see it. We didn't want to know because we wasn't one of them.
But less of that outrageous behaviour and more of chomping on food in the Smoking Goat.
Absolutely.
A time when Myrna was happy.
Yes.
She was chomping on her coconut pumpkin curry.
Coconut pumpkin curry, and it was absolutely beautiful.
And it's a really, really good restaurant. It's been beautifully done in there. It's been totally renovated from the times of when it was a strip club. And it's just a gorgeous atmosphere, gorgeous food, and very sort of Thai-based.
Yes,
it,
yes. Yeah. And I think it's two of us, obviously we don't eat meat. We are not meat eaters, but every meat eater would be really pleased
with
this.
Yeah, there's a whole range of stuff to...
I mean, it's more for the meat eaters than we was really restricted, but we was happy with our meal.
Exactly. So very, very entertaining, pleasant place.
Yes, I was very happy. When I go to these places and when it's nothing to eat, it's always something to drink.
Yes. That is when she is a least scowly moment of her life.
Yes. Anyway, our second place is just round the corner in Calvert Avenue, and it's called Essential Vegan.
I mean, this is my idea of heaven. It's an absolutely brilliant new cafe. And you honestly, the thing is, with a lot of those vegan dishes there, you wouldn't realise you weren't eating meat. That's what's so incredible about it. And it's packed full of flavour.
Absolutely. I had this, my favourite... was the burger with jerk fruit, and it was absolutely...
Believe me, she was jerking after that jackfruit.
It wasn't a jerk.
She was a happy woman.
I really was. No, it's this jackfruit burger. It's absolutely fantastic. It's full of flavor. It's like, do you know what? I was a big meat eater before
she was.
Became vegan, and I'm telling you, I think that was the best... the best burger that I ever had, and I went a couple of times without Ursula there when I was working.
Can you believe it?
Well, yes, I did. I did. I cheated on her. And the place is absolutely fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. I'm thoroughly addicted. Dale, one of our ladies' cab drivers, actually featured that on her Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yes, I didn't tell you this.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, because she goes to the little restaurant, and sometimes I look, and you know how I'm food crazy.
Oh, she's always sniffing out a new restaurant.
Yes.
Like a little warthog, she is sniffing around, finding new culinary delights.
Drinks and food.
And the last place we're going to talk about is Columbia Road Flower Market.
Not really my place to have a fun, but hey.
Well, no, because it doesn't involve food. Notice a link there. I absolutely love the place. It's absolutely packed full of character, and the sort of bargains you can get there are absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Bedding plants, whatever time of year you go there, hanging baskets, spring flowers. It's just, and it's packed full of interesting and varied people, and I would very, very much recommend it. Starts at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning and finishes at 2. If you want to get real bargains, go about 15-20 more minutes before it closes, and they're selling off everything really, really cheap. The only problem I would say there is parking, so best to go by bus.
I know, she dragged me there very early in the morning. Let me tell you, I wasn't a happy bunny, just like today.
There was a scowl fest there too, all I can say.
It was until we went to Essential Vegan, and suddenly my mood has absolutely improved.
Surprise.
Soon as the food has hit my mouth,
it's true.
I was in a much better mood. Anyway, that was us for today.
So be glad you're not seeing her but only hearing her, because it is not a pretty sight when she's in a bad mood.
Pardon me, I thought that beauty never fade, even when I'm in the good mood. You told me this last time, you lied to me.
Sorry.
You lied to me.
To disabuse you of your sad image. Anyway, goodbye, guys.
Anyway, goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
There's something about Ursula and Myrna. When they get together, they seem to talk about being naked all the time. Wasn't what this segment was meant to be about, was it? Jim Thomas is talking about your back to the wall. Don't know what it's descending into.
This is the moment you've waited for.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the Gala Spectacular at the Charing Cross Theatre, Sunday, 7th of April at 3 p.m.
There's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind.
Featuring a whole gallery of seasoned veteran cabbies and a special guest performance by the one and only Maureen Lipman, this is Taxi's Show Talent. All in aid of two great causes. That's the Taxi Charity for Military Veterans and UTAG. I know we are racing through this broadcast, but just casting our minds forward a little bit to next year's mayoral elections, because they will be on us, won't they? And who do we go with? Because we've been betrayed from both sides, haven't we? And it seems really odd for me to be kind of egging the GLA Conservatives on against a Labour mayor. I mean, it's unbelievable. But to watch him sit there with such contempt that he will intentionally not answer any questions, I think it doesn't get any worse than that. And so to see the GLA Conservatives giving him stick when the GLA Conservatives were the devil incarnate at the time is a bizarre thing, is something to behold. But yes, and I mean, and Keith Prince does seem a move away from that. It will require a lot more than just lip service. Here's a snippet of what Keith Prince thinks of Mayor Khan.
It's complete and utter hypocrisy. How can you allow a new provider of a service to use a Veto Euro 6, but the cab trade, who've been in business for many, many decades, not allow them to use it? It just doesn't make sense. If you're going to set a stringent rule, then surely if you're starting something new, that's the best opportunity to bring in a new product. Yeah, he should have made them buy all the LEVC vehicles. And I just don't understand how he can actually sit there and say that that's okay. It's just totally wrong, morally and everywhere.
Shall we begin?
Let's begin now. Like I said, it's happening on both sides of the House, isn't it? Not more so than the Labour Party, which was made evident last week, wasn't it? When Lillian Greenwood, who is the MP for Nottingham South, I think, but also the chair of the Transport Committee on the Labour side, she passed through the demonstration and thought she would innocently inquire with a cabbie what it was all about. Only she got the hump, didn't she? Because he referred to her as sweetheart. So there you go. The reason I've took umbrage to that is not just because our main association decided to back her and not drivers. It was just the fact that what has been 7 weeks in Parliament Square, so why she hasn't come out and talked to the trade before now beggars belief, because she is on the Labour side of the Transport Committee. So she should be out there talking to drivers. Not only that, to inquire what it's about 7 weeks in, why doesn't she already know? And if McNamara, the LTDA, have the political route under their belt and making headway there, how come she hasn't spoken to him and he hasn't spoken to her? And if they have, how come that conversation was so ineffective she can't recall what it's about?
This is not a drill.
She should know there's a real grievance. 7 weeks permanently in Parliament Square. If she decided to take a dislike to the cab tread on the back of that, she doesn't deserve to be there. And she doesn't make inquiries before now. Instead, she takes it upon herself to make it about her little grievance. And that's what we are facing, isn't it? Her little grievance. And I think it goes for them all. She probably doesn't look too favourably on the trade as it stands and decided to have a bash. The reason cab drivers hemorrhaged onto her is because no one is listening, and self-evidently, neither was she. And if she's a representative of the Labour Party, well, it might leave us with Rees-Mogg. I'm sure Rees-Mogg isn't just paying lip service, is he?
I'm on the side of the cab drivers, and remember what Benjamin Disraeli said, you're the gondoliers of London, and we should be proud of you because you bring tourists in, you get people efficiently from A to B, and the roads need to be kept open for cab drivers. So I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
That the anti-taxi steps taken by the mayor are reversed, and we recognise the value you bring to the capital city of our great country.
And also what we do for the disabled in the community, Mr. Mogg.
Absolutely, and I know you do tours for children as well, and do
the
all
war
sorts
veterans
of things,
and everything.
Considerable contributions to society, and you're kind to your passengers. I hear so many stories of cab drivers who've taken old ladies somewhere and have been stuck in traffic and have said, I only pay half the fare because that's too much. And really generous things that cab drivers do.
Well, we're
so
Londoners.
I wish you well, though I wish you wouldn't block up Parliament Square because I had to get out of my own taxi and walk.
We're fast approaching the end of the broadcast, lovely listeners, but no doubt I will see you at the protest this week. There's no reason why I shouldn't, but if I don't, you can get hold of me on the website, sean@londontaxiradio.co.uk, or you can DM me on Twitter at Sean Paul Day, my personal account, or at London Taxi Radio. You can go and like the Facebook page, London Taxi Radio. There's a lot of good stuff happening out there, folks, so support it when you can. Support that which supports the trade, like UTAG. Win, lose or draw, we need to get behind UTAG. Support the protests. Old Mayfair mob mantra says, one person is a nuisance, 100 is an army. Absolutely right. Imagine if there was 15,000 of us. Things would change overnight, wouldn't they? And there's great initiatives such as London Taxi PR, and the trade more than ever needs PR. There's Taxi App, the trade has its own app. Why are we selling ourselves off to the corporates? And I'd like to think London Taxi Radio was on your radar also. There's TaxiLeaks, a stalwart of the taxi trade, bringing you information and content every single day. And CabChat, our sister radio station, celebrated its 200th episode last week. Worth a listen, actually, so you could go to the website and you'll be able to download all their past episodes. And I think a new episode goes out every Wednesday afternoon. Talking about birthdays, it was Broadcast zone, Mick the Brit. It was his birthday yesterday. He is the programme director at LTR and looks after our stream for us. So we'll be catching up with him. Didn't miss you anymore. And while you're taking care out there, it would take 2 seconds, if anything happened, to realise the benefit of being a member of an org. So get on board, support one of the orgs, and in turn, they can support you. Don't hang up on me just yet, because I'm going to play you out with more Voice of the Cabbie, and these are legit taxi drivers expressing their feelings about the current situation. So, until tomorrow, I'll see you out there on the mean streets.
London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.